All right. Item number two from the Department of Family Care.
From the Director of Department of Family Care, submitting informational quarterly reports on the income statement of the care management organization under Family Care. This item also goes to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Ms. Ledger, Ms. Hodgson. Thank you, Hunger Task Force, for being here this morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors. What you have in front of you are the financials for the Department of Family Care for May 1st through December 31st, 2012, and then January 1st through December 31st, 2012. You have a lot of different attachments there, so I leave it to Mr. Hodgson to sort that out. That's a better idea for all of you.
Okay. I'd like to ask a quick question if I could. Thank you. Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that's Milwaukee County and it's the Kenosha Racine combination. Going back to our discussions in the past, and because you come to finance also. I think the main question I would have, and I would think people were talking about, is, we're always looking to extend our programs, like IMSD, we can make money in other areas to bring into. So the idea, of course, was that, get into other areas, and we have a great CMO. There's no question about it. I wish the state hadn't meddled in, and we've been the single, helper here. But the question always was, and you look at the numbers, and there's small numbers in the Kenosha-Racine combination together, and the obvious question is it worth our time and efforts and staff to be, going to other areas besides concentrating in Milwaukee County? I mean, do the results, can you give me, and I guess in the committee, the report that, we look at numbers, it's 44 or something like that, and it was interesting also when I saw that the ones we gained in Milwaukee County were kind of negated. We lost some then. Was it because of our, emphasis in trying to start in Kenosha and Racine? So that's the overall question. Is it indeed worth the effort and time and staff to go into these other areas? Does it hurt our concentration in our marketing efforts you've always talked about in past months to gain more clients? The more clients we get, the better off we are, obviously. So Is that an understandable question? Thank you, Madam Chair. Get to the heart of it, maybe.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Schmidt, I can address the first part of that question. When you look at disenrollments from any managed care organization, particularly Milwaukee County, because as this board is well aware, for the longest part of its lifespan was serving primarily older adults and just began serving younger people with disabilities late in 2009. And so the primary reason for disenrollment, particularly among older adults, has been death. So that's always going to be a higher number for this MCO because we will always have proportionally a higher number of older adults, again, because that was the only population that we served. So that remains, it's true for all managed care organizations, it shows up more for us because of the way that our target groups are situated. But that's the primary reason. Where you also see reasons for disenrollment are one of the categories is people moving out of the service area. So with an expansion past the boundaries of Milwaukee County, people moving out of the service area going, over to Racine County or Kenosha County no longer means an automatic disenrollment. It would be, perhaps a disenrollment from the Milwaukee County geographic focus, but still staying within this managed care organization. So from that standpoint, I think, although you see smaller numbers, what we have seen is since we gathered the numbers for these particular set of financials, we have started to see an uptick in enrollments, an understanding it's going to be a gradual process. For Racine and Kenosha County, it was very different for them to have to talk about another service provider. And so what we have seen is people coming new into the program as opposed to people transferring from MCO to MCO. So new enrollees who have not up to this point received services now are given that option. And so we anticipated a sort of slow and steady enrollment, but we are seeing an increase in enrollment. It makes sense for people who are Milwaukee County legal responsibilities to be able to stay within the MCO that they're comfortable with. It's also beneficial for our service providers. As you know, we contracted for those services that keep people in the community. We have, I think, either close to or slightly over 1,066 to be precise, contracts with community agencies to provide services. A lot of those agencies have satellite offices in other counties, so it's good growth for them to be able to have a contract with Milwaukee County and still be able to serve people beyond our boundaries. So from an operational perspective, it really does make sense, and I'm comfortable with a sort of a slow growth because we're able to plan for it, and it has not appreciably increased the expense to the department because we're able to maximize and build on some efficiencies of scale because we have a nice strong infrastructure here. And I'll defer to Mr. Hodson to talk about the financial piece of that.
Madam Chair and County Supervisors, so the reports that you have there, and I'll speak to 2012 first. There was the Racine Kenosha operations is just we started up in May 1st. So the numbers you have there represent only 8 months worth of operations. As Director Ledger had indicated, it has been slow growth, but we did end the year in a small surplus position, and the enrollment at that time was 44, but we're up to 72 people as we speak today. So the growth has continued. The Milwaukee County operations was the operations that produced the largest surplus, which is was $2.6 million. A couple of things. If you recall back in, I think we came to this committee back in October of 2011, and that was at a time when we had shared with the committee that we had received our new capitation rate, and the new capitation rate for Milwaukee County was actually a decrease, and that was the first decrease we had received in the history of the program. And at that time, that was a little over $10 million reduction in our revenues. So there was a series of chain of events that had taken place over the course of late fourth quarter of 2011 going and throughout the duration of 2012. One of those was we had met with the Department of Health Services, Office of Family Care Expansion, and we did demonstrate to them that the rate methodology that they had used was a couple of things that needed to, they weren't as precise, so it resulted in a slight increase, it was $14.81 PMPM, or which amounts to about a $1.4 million revenue adjustment. And then we also looked closer at our operations to see what we could do to become more efficient, and that would have been more improvement on utilization management. So that's kind of how we ended the year, was in a surplus position. So
that's referring to the January 1st, December 31st, 2012?
Correct.
Okay, I understand.
Right.
I just have a quick follow-up.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate the information. Thank you, Madam Chair. The heart of my question was, are we in any way, I mean, our first concern is Milwaukee County, obviously, okay? I mean, it does make some sense if you talk about metro areas in southeastern Wisconsin, Racine and Kenosha, I mean, there should be our partners. We have a lot of similar concerns, you know, the metro populace, et cetera, people who need these services. But again, it's going to take a little while longer to give me a direct answer to the question of, is this certainly a worthwhile endeavor? Does it take away from marketing and times we should be spending trying to get more people in Milwaukee County involved in your services. That was the heart of my question. I think you've answered some things, but I don't know if I got a direct answer on that.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Ledger.
Supervisor Schmidt. I think the direct answer for the question is I believe it is worth it. It does not, it is, because it's a small operation in Racine and Kenosha, it doesn't, there are no resources that should be devoted to Milwaukee, which are not being devoted to Milwaukee. The care management teams are separate for individuals served in those geographic areas and here. So there isn't, the marketing efforts are different because demographically it's a different area. Just fewer opportunities for some of the things that we're able to do within Milwaukee County because it's a larger urban area. We don't do them the same way that we would in Racine and Kenosha. But I think there hasn't been any decrease in our outreach to potential members here. We continue to have a presence wherever we can in terms of reaching out and explaining to people what the program is and the benefits of it. So I don't have any concerns that there's any diminishment in terms of our efforts for Milwaukee. I would want that least of anyone. We have 8,000 people for whom we are responsible for their health and safety and the services that they receive. And our member satisfaction surveys continue to be very high for Milwaukee. Our quality audit that was just completed by the state, we improved on most measures that they are looking at. So there are outside and independent benchmarks that we continue to meet for Milwaukee. So I don't have any concern that there's an issue here.
Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let's go back to your audit. I'm just with your budget and then your unaudit. Why is your why did you budget just say 12 that you would have had a $3.1 million deficit, but then you had a $2.6 million surplus? And I'm looking at why when you budgeted in January through December of 12, your labor costs and your labor fringe benefit was higher. Your contract was higher, but your cross charges went up, or even higher in your audit. Okay, what you budget was higher than what reality is, but then your fringe benefit is lower, so that you pass your expenses to create a $2.6 million surplus? I'm trying to figure this one out. Because as you look at all your different expenses report or your income statements, your labor, your vendors, but your cross charges is higher, but you put cross charges lower each your reports. I'm trying to figure out why the difference, because when you look at your budget, you always have a deficit, but at the end, reality, you have a you turn around by $5 million of surplus. If you're going from a deficit to a plus, it's $5 million roughly.
Sure. Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo.
$5.7 million.
Correct. A couple of things. First, the comment on the, for instance, the labor. Throughout the year, we've been down 10 vacant positions. So that's in the budget. We get charged for the legacy costs. That's showing up in the actual. That's whether those positions are filled or not, we get charged for them.
Okay.
So we've been down consistently for the year, 10 vacant positions. Had we filled those positions, you probably would be looking at close to another $1 million off the net surplus line. So instead of $2.6 million, we'd probably be looking at $1.6 million right there.
And Madam Chair and Supervisor Mayor, just to clarify, those we have been actively seeking to fill those vacancies, so those aren't vacancies, those aren't positions that were held vacant for budgetary reasons. They've been posted, we've been interviewing, so we are, again, actively trying to fill all of those positions.
Well, I understand that, but use VNT is always a concern, and this is not only your department, a lot of other departments use vacancies to make sure they balance their budget.
No, I'm dying for those snaps, sir.
Okay. And then, because that's consistent through your whole of all your budgets, and that's just why I was wondering about that. And are you looking to expand any more to any other county, like Ozaukee County, or is this it, Gracie and Kenosha? Because I know there's a push for Southeastern region, and Milwaukee County is probably one of the leaders in that.
Madam Chair and Supervisor Mayo, we brought to the committee and to the county board at the end of last year an expansion to what the state refers to as Geographic Service Region 6, So which is Ozaukee, Sheboygan, Washington, Walworth, and Waukesha. The state, unfortunately, does not allow MCOs when submitting proposals to, at that point, to look at regions and only apply to serve members in specific counties in that region. The state said this is how they have delineated the different regions within the state. So with the county board's approval, we submitted a proposal and were awarded a contract for that Geographic Service Region 6.
You have been rewarded, and when will it take effect?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, I believe either I think official start, and I would have to double check and get back to you, but would be the July 1st. If not, I'd have to see where we're at currently with those regions. But
could you come forth again, Madam Chair, and brought that in front of the committee and said, "Hey, we got the regions, and we're gonna go with it." So when do the new logo come out? Because I know you're gonna have to have something different because you're with all these different regions.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, you don't like our logo?
But is the new logo going to say this for Racine, Kenosha, Ozaukee County, and all those good things, or is it just
Madam
Milwaukee?
Chair, Supervisor Mayo, the state is also very prescriptive on what our logo and what anything underneath it says. And so what it'll be the same symbol that you've come to know and love for the Department of Family Care. And currently it says underneath the sort of arches, Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha. So we will continue to say Milwaukee County and then probably talk about more of a generic region rather than spelling out each county. But it will continue to say Milwaukee on it.
Okay. Just check it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. I've got Supervisor Weishaar next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Supervisor Mayo touched on a couple points. Could you just elaborate a little bit more how we got to a $2.6 million surplus, and then what happens to those surplus funds from 2012? And the third point of the 10 open positions, and when do you plan on completing and filling those positions?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Weishaar, if you don't mind, I'll take those in reverse order.
Sure.
It's okay with you. Because I'm... As I stated earlier, we have been actively trying to fill those positions. The majority of them were created in the budget for 2013. And I don't know at which point in which cycle. I believe the board has requested some information from all departments in terms of vacancies. All of them, as I said, not all of them were created in the budget. The majority of them, however, were. We have posted all of those positions. We have some of them are still in a process where the Department of Human Resources is going through the applications and establishing a list of eligible applicants. In some instances, we have interviewed, have reopened positions. For one of our most recent position, we have had an offer out on the individual that we were very much hoping to hire accepted another position, so we will repost that again. But I would have loved to have filled them 3 months ago. But by a process of having them out and posting and bringing people in for interviews, at this point, especially for the new creates, it's a longer process in establishing an eligibility list. For some positions, they're on continuous recruitment, so it's a much faster process to come in and take a look and get eligible applicants to set up interviews with. But in terms of when we would, any time before this would have been, as I said, fantastic with me. There is a definite need for qualified staff in these positions. They will streamline functions incredibly. So as soon as we can, as soon as we can fill them, we absolutely will.
That's the positions. Now, could you like go back, like I said, just elaborate a little bit more on how we got from a potential $3 million deficit mm-hmm. to a potential $3 million surplus, and then how are we dealing with that surplus?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Weishan, when we originally budgeted, we submitted a budget request when we knew we had that rate decrease to actually have a contribution from reserves, meaning we were going to take some. The program has reserves, so to answer your earlier question, there are some reserves established aside in the event that our actual revenues are lower than our expenditures and we suffer a loss or a deficit, an operating deficit. So when we submitted our 2012 budget, there was a contribution from reserves to fund that $3.2 million loss there, part of it. And basically, I'm showing you what we had budgeted. There's another revenue line that would have been included as contribution from reserves, and there would have been another $3.2 million and would have balanced to zero because our tax levy target's zero. So what we would have done is we would have taken some money out of reserves and created a separate revenue account, and it would have came in as zero. But the reality was we were going to come in with a shortfall. That was what we were seeing going into 2012. Since that time, we've had as I mentioned, we had that meeting with the Department of Health Services, and we had a small rate increase or an adjustment to our original rate, and that produced about $1.4 million. There was a major effort sent out through our COO and our chief clinical officer to look at services that we were delivering. We bundled, at the time, we had bundled our transportation services with our residential providers, and we were able to achieve some savings in that some of our residential providers were now providing the rides for, let's say, day programming and stuff in places like that. So those were some of the initiatives that we brought forward. Now, we had originally brought a complete list in a plan of action back in October of 2011, and at that time we were trying to get back to break even, and it needless to say, the feedback we received was people felt that from this committee that they didn't want us to be making what was referred to as severe cuts. So we pulled back on our operating plan, and then that's why we submitted a budget that would have had revenues lower than expenditures by about $3.2 million, and we would have had to take the money from our reserves. The surplus monies, to answer your question here, based on actual results, will go into our reserves. And there's three reserve accounts. There's a working capital, a restricted reserve, and then a solvency reserve. And the way those function are, in the event of an actual deficit, where we're losing money for a given plan year, we can immediately take money from our reserves from the working capital reserve account without any state approvals, as long as we meet the minimum requirements, because there's certain requirements that have to be met, and we can fund our operations and just continue business as usual. If for some reason we were to fall below those minimums, we would have to seek board approval here and state approval there to tap into those minimums. Should those minimums get used up for the working capital reserve, then there's the restricted reserve is the next threshold where there's some monies there. If those require approvals as well, if those get all used up, then basically you're at a point where the operation would be insolvent. And there's a solvency fund that has been that each MCO contributes $750,000. It goes into a pooled reserve, and then what happens is those monies, if an MCO becomes insolvent, those monies get used to pay claims out, and then that business ceases to operate. That happened last year for one of the private entities up in Eau Claire, Community Health Plan. They folded, and the state went in to those that pooled reserve and used it to pay out claims to cover those reserves. So there's what I'm trying to share with the process, there's insulation here, so the county themselves is not at risk, because that's where those reserves are going. Did that answer your question?
Yes, no, that's all part of it. I know we have a lot of moving parts, and we're just trying to understand how some of those parts interact with each other.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further comments or questions from committee? Seeing none.